Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 16, 2017. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help, call me. After this program, call me. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent by United States Postal Service and email with your return address and or your phone number. Well, and your phone number, of course, because I can't call you through your address. Anyway, and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be printed out or taken out of the mail, taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitations for donations. Or as my wife says, I'll simply throw them away. So we don't keep your address for future mailing unless for some reason you request that. Anyway, we have a prayer request form also that you can use to contact us either for prayers or something else on the right-hand side of our Prophecy Hour and MessiahsBranch.com pages. Now remember, we are a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on the net internationally. And it's also live right now at YouTube and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime because airtime is not free. On another note, let's thank our listener bases worldwide in places like Shanghai, China. Why do people listen to us in China? That's just absurd, really. But also Tanzania. I can't even hardly pronounce the place. Paris, France. Toronto, Canada. Hamilton, Canada. Hyderabad, India. And, of course, cities in the USA. Thank you for the good old USA. Aurora, Illinois. Oakland, California. Virginia Beach, Virginia. Toledo, Ohio. Buffalo, New York. Washington, D.C., and I'm still perplexed by that when I keep getting jokes about the NSA and the White House and all the rest of those people listening to us. And so I have no idea who's listening to us, but if you folks listen to us in Washington, D.C., hey, how about sending me an email and saying, hey, I'm not the NSA, I'm just one of your happy listeners. Anyway, going on, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they podcast later tonight. Right now, at this very second, I have no way to tell how many people, thousands or upon thousands of people are listening, but we are out all over the world. Now, prayer. And we'll get on with the program tonight, which I'm sure you're going to find interesting. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I really pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not my will, nor a guest's will. And Father, please give us the truth and give everyone ears in which to understand the truth. Lift the veil from her, Father, from in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, a simple question, folks. Are we supposed to know the future? Are we supposed to get confirmation about the future? In the Torah, we find in Deuteronomy 18, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a necromancer, or one inquires of the dead, for whatever does these things is an abomination unto the Lord. And that's King James Version, of course. And there is that. And there is that, folks. And so much more says no to messing around with looking into the future. We, as human beings, aren't supposed to do it. That's completely throughout the Torah. But what people say, well, what about the prophets? Well, the Father has prophets. And a real prophet really doesn't speak his words, but he speaks the Father's words. Now, while we're not going to talk about prophets tonight, well, let's move on with this. Also, so in Isaiah 46, 9 to 10, it's recorded that it says, remember the former things old, for I am Yahweh, there is none else. I am Yahweh, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, to things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now, so the Father tells us the end from the beginning, and uses prophets to point to that end. Well, we have them. Where do we have the prophets? By the written word. Now, I'm not even going to touch on any what people call modern-day prophets. But we're talking about what the Word says. So tonight, we're going to take a two-hour look at Bible codes. Yep, Bible codes. You know, you've seen TV programs about them and movies about them and people writing about them. But what is the truth in all that? Is there a such thing called a Bible codes? Did the Father place all that matters in the Word in hidden codes? Or is it by man who created this and it's all just a big bunch of, well, hooey? So now, in part one, at 5, this is at 5 p.m. Central, so make sure you tune back in at 7 p.m. Central tonight for part two. We're going to talk for an hour, and then we'll take a break, of course, naturally, as we always do, and we'll come back and talk again. So prepare for an evening of Bible codes by man or by the Father. But we bring on with us now Tom Mack. He's a principal at Whitestone Technologies, LLC principal school at Whitestone, and he's also at Whitestone Publishing and principal owner of White Cottage Publishing Company, and he lives in Trinidad, Colorado. Tom started his research with Bible codes in 1996, and in 1999, he received a better code program, he says, from the Israelites, or the Israelis, and from someone in Australia, or a place in Australia. So his work progressed really differently from that point on. But, you know, looking at that, folks, it looks like to me he's doing this for over 20 years plus of research. So tonight, we're going to visit with him about Bible codes, and we'll get that information from Tom. So, welcome, Tom. Are you there on there with me?
I'm here.
Well, it's glad to have you. Let's do this. So, did I miss anything in talking about you, you know, that's important to the people, you think?
Well, as I say, one of the things you might want to point out is I am academically trained. I have an MBA, partly in quantitative analysis. I also have an accounting degree. So I've got a lot of academic background to this, too. So this isn't something that I'm doing, and I really don't understand the mathematical rules. One of the things you learn very fast doing Bible codes is if you don't follow the rules in doing it, you can make a big mess, and you can end up saying things that you really don't want to say. And sometimes you can, for example, I've given this number of times. If you, say, take a person like Adolf Hitler, probably one of the most evil men in all of history, but you could literally do a Bible code on Adolf Hitler. You would find out that he's going to do wonderful things for the kids. He's going to bring full employment to Germany, and he's going to do all these wonderful things. And what would you start doing? You might think, wow, this is a guy I might want to have on my program.
Right.
We might want to get behind this guy because this is what the Bible code says he's going to do. But then we might neglect to see those words about the Schutzstaffel or SS and his little secret government inside a government. We might omit World War II and, you know, World War II is just so hard to understand just how terrible that war was.
Right.
The other day I was looking at Stalingrad. 1 million people died in one battle that lasted about 6 months. Can you imagine 1 million people dying?
It's just, that's something that we're afraid is going to happen soon anyway. But let me go back to your background for a moment. So what I want to get across to the people, so Bible College is something that with you, you are, you know, you're good with numbers and you've had training in numbers and things. You're an accountant, so you got to be good. So you're not going to, you're not of a nature to let things slip by you. So you're a really good, you know, candidate to do this kind of work, right? Because of your background?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. When I first got into this, I had heard a little bit about it, but I just said, oh, come on. There was an article written in an academic journal called Statistical Science. In fact, I have it repeated on my website. It was written by Dr. Elihu Ripps and a couple other guys. But Dr. Elihu Ripps catches my mind because he's the number one man on group theory, which is it's a portion of mathematics that we've only started to understand maybe the last 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd seen some of his work. And my pastor at the time, who's a messianic pastor like you, he asked me to look at this guy's article. And I thought, okay, I should be able to rip this thing apart in a few minutes. Well, I didn't. What he said was very valid. And it started getting me interested in it. I'm saying, maybe we finally have the proof that this isn't just written by men. That we have 66 books. And all 66 of those books are written in such a perfect order.
Right.
And written in such a way that we know God wrote it.
Now, let me go to his, let me go to his research. Now, this is the guy that found out it was, didn't he come out with the paper that said it was, you know, almost impossible for it not, the Bible not to have been written by the Father, right? Is this the same guy?
Exactly.
Yeah, this is the guy, he impressed me. It's the same person. I know who you're talking about. You say you have that on your website. What is your website anyway, so people can look at this while we talk or maybe go look at it at break? I want to get that up front.
Okay, it's just BibleCodes.co for Colorado.
BibleCodes.co, BibleCodes.co. Now go on. So the man, so I know the man that you're talking about, and his information is just completely impressive. I've studied it in the past, way back.
Yes, and so have I considerably. I've talked to him. In fact, once in a great while we share an email, and I've seen some of his work, and he's very careful with it, and he's also had a lot of people try to misuse him. Probably the most famous person is Michael Drosnin, who wrote 3 Bible Code books. And
right.
I would say to you right now, they're not particularly valid. They're too few words, and they're often not connected. And when you run into that problem, I can pretty much make it say anything I want. You know, I just stretch that matrix out a little longer than you need to, and then, yeah, I can make it say what I want. But we can't do that. It's got to be small. It's got to be compact. And the letters and the words have to touch each other or even share a letter in common. And when you look on, I've sent you some, and I think you've seen that they're all interconnected and intertwined. That's how I know we have something. Also, what's important, and I do this as a narrative on my site, is that two or three words in a code are not enough for it to be valid. Because I've got some that you look at and say, oh, wow, this really proves something. No, it doesn't. Because you take it to the Bible Code Convention and they chew you up. Because there's
I've seen Bible Code, and that's probably what got me disinterested. You know, at first I was highly interested in it. In fact, I'd even got a thing called Torah Codes, you know, and tried to use it. But back then, computers weren't very fast, and so I didn't have enough patience with it. But what turned me off is that all of a sudden, here's everybody in the world doing Bible Codes, and we're getting just so much that it was impossible for it all to be real. So I just kind of backed out of it. I'm sure a lot of people did. Back to you.
And what happens, you know, what came out when it first came out is everybody thought Bible Codes is the quick way to spirituality. Nothing could be further from the truth. When I do one of these codes, it often ties me up for a day, sometimes two or three. Sometimes I get it started and I get to a point and I'm stuck and I have to put it away for a while. Other times I have to get help. In fact, one I just put up on my website under the key code section, it was about Germany. And when I started this code, I was looking for the Nazis to take over in Germany, which I thought was what was going to happen over there. That the Nazis were, after all these Islamic immigrants are over there tearing up everything and making things miserable, I expected the Nazis would rise up, kill them all, and restore themselves to power.
Right.
And so that's what I was looking for in the code. And guess what? I found just the opposite.
Really? What did you find?
I actually found, in fact, I'll get you some of the words here. I need to pull it up here real quick.
Okay, we got plenty of time.
But the interesting thing, also, the big thing I look for, when I find Germany, I also find the Amalekites. Remember the Amalekites?
Sure.
They were the first tribe that opposed Israel after they came out of the Promised Land. And it's interesting that one of the big verse there is Exodus 17:6. And he said, the Lord hath sworn that he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So, you know, we better pay attention to these people, because the Lord's going to have a battle with them, even into the modern times. And I mean, you probably have discussed this. You've probably talked about Saul's failure to kill him when he was told to do so, and he didn't. He left King Agag alive. And guess what? We go to the book of Esther. What was Haman? He was an Agagite.
Right.
And what did he do? He nearly killed off, had the Jews all killed off because he tricked the king. And it was a pretty close there for a while. Some people say that Esther shouldn't be in the Old Testament. I beg to disagree.
No, Esther should be there.
Yeah. I have a system that will show you why it should be there. And if you don't have Esther in there, it all breaks down.
Right. Well, we're gonna getting ready to go to break. We've got about a minute and 10 seconds. So again, explain to the people where they should go, and then what they should look for. You got about a minute to give them that information, and we'll go to break.
Okay, go to BibleCodes.co, and you can go to the key codes. You'll have to you'll have to go through a few of them, but there will be a a section called Germany codes, and that's the ones we're going to talk about here when we get done with break.
Okay, folks, I will also, I will real quick send a link to this over to prophecyhour.com of the page that says Germany codes, and I will send a link over to it, and we'll come back and talk with more with Tom Mack in about 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, a couple of things to remember. Well, actually, one, Passover, that's coming in April, one of my favorite times of the year. But, all, you know, all the feasts are my favorite times of the year, but Passover, if you've never been to a Passover Seder, a Messianic Passover Seder, you really, really need to go, because you will understand what the Bible's talking about like you never have before if you've never attended one, because it will explain to you your salvation and what Yeshua did in that that particular covenant meal. So you need to do it, and it's most look online for a Messianic church in your neighborhood and a lot of other just normal Christian church, Main Street churches. They're even doing it. So check out a Passover Seder, really, this year. But anyway, keep all the feasts. Remember, though, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help for food, clothing, over-the-counter medications, all these sorts of things. Well, you know, the homeless and poor need what you need. And we really get no help from any organized churches or government agencies, that's for sure. We have no government money. It's only folks like you that supported us for... now we're getting ready to start our 18th year in June. So you're the people that make the Mission Church work. As you know, this radio program, this ministry sells nothing. So it's up to people like you. Yes, we care for the people, minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through after dark. And that's a fact. Anyway, so why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love is the answer. We treat them as family. We give them relationships. And beyond that, we have no set guidelines. You know, like programs, the only programs I have are radio programs. People walk in the door, and if they don't see what they need, they find me or my wife or, you know, and ask us for what they need. And then we pray about it if we don't have it there for them. And so that's how it goes. So we try to get everything. We try to fill the need if we don't have it right there. Anyway, this is why agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budgets send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. As you know, we are an informational program. In fact, that's why I call it a radio program. Programs tend to... you know, are supposed to teach. Whereas the word show, I know everybody uses it like, oh, I'm a radio talk show host and all that stuff. But show, if you really look up the word, means just that, show. I'm not trying to entertain you. I'm trying to educate you. So you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations do keep us on the air. And so now we're back with Tom Mack, and we're talking about Bible codes. Are you still with us, Tom?
I'm still here.
All right. And so we are talking about codes, and you were going to use this one about Germany and the Amalek connection to explain to us how this process works.
Okay. Well, the first thing we the first real code I got on Germany seemed to hit about 44, 45 when, one, they knew they were losing the war. They knew that after Stalingrad. When you lose 600,000 men, things are going to fall apart in a hurry. And honestly, I believe at this time, I don't have any proof for it. Other people seem to think they do. But at that point in time, I think Martin Bormann took over ruling Germany. And then Hitler, in fact, I've even read a report that said Hitler was killed in the plane crash in 43. I don't have any proof for it. But what I do know is they understood they were losing the war and that it was only going to be a matter of time. And so what they had to do, they had to pull together all their resources and get them out of the country through what they call rat lines. Surprisingly, many of them were set up by the Vatican. Right. And sometimes these guys would literally dress up in clerical garb and split Germany, go through Italy, which was also an ally of Germany, go to Spain, and then on to South America, mainly Argentina, but a lot of them went to Paraguay and Chile as well.
Right.
And so, but what we learn from this is we also see a connection with a guy named Cain. And you know, something interesting to think about. Do you ever read about Cain's death in the Bible?
No, it's not in the Bible.
No. Wonder why. Well, I started to realize from doing this, maybe this guy's still around. Because remember what he is famous for. He is famous for agriculture. And what does most agriculture do? It depletes the ground. It's a depletion process. And if we don't rebuild it, what does the Lord tell us to do every 7 years?
Let the land rest.
Right. But what does Cain say? No, that's 1 year of profits you're losing. You can't do that. But we find that the spirit of Cain has inundated Germany and has come over here as a result, because a lot of people of German descent that have come over here. In fact, one of the things the Nazis did with American prisoners, they saw they had German descent in them, they would put them in a special room and get them to go fight for Nazi Germany. And surprisingly, a lot of American soldiers did. Went straight to the Russian front. And they picked it up, they listened to it, and they drank the Kool-Aid and off they went.
Right.
And
right.
But we started to see this code tell us. And not only do we see Germany falling apart, we start to see them gathering all their spiritual assets as well. They're calling on Lucifer. They're calling on Cain. They're calling on Allah. They're calling everybody. And they're gathering to get them together and moving them out.
Right.
And in some cases, what's an interesting appearance in here is Russian intelligence, who obviously is trying to stop this because they don't want these guys to come back. Look how devastated Russia was from World War II and to a lesser extent World War I. Do they want that to happen again? In fact, that was why Russia opposed Germany reunifying in 89, because they saw what could happen. And another little project looks like the Germans were working on at the end of World War II was the Nephilim, trying to create super soldiers. And I've seen that in a lot of countries, including our own. You don't want to send your kids off to war. Well, let's create a special class of fighters that can go over and do all this stuff for us.
I believe that, you know, I believe that's been with us since the beginning of things, the search for the super soldier, which is actually just all a guise for the, you know, for the Nephilim, you know. Don't you think?
Yeah, you could make a real good case for that. You really could, man. But what I know is I saw the Nazis were doing it.
Right.
They were doing a lot of experiments. A guy by the name of Joseph Farrell has written a lot of material on this and has actually dug up a lot of the papers that showed how they were doing all these untoward experiments. And so, but we see this in the codes. And one phrase in there that really caught my attention is one called ancient evil. And
you got me on my seat. What's that about?
And it's basically, it starts at the beginning with the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And that's, you know, there's a lot of debate about what the serpent really was. Honestly, I don't know. I could make some suggestions, but that's all they would be. But what we're looking at is something so wicked, so evil. And another word that appeared in here is the word enim, which is Arabic for vampire.
Really?
Yes, and I haven't quite understood that. I haven't read too much about it. But if you realize that Nazi Germany held Romania. Well, Romania was an ally of Nazi Germany. That's where Transylvania is. And a lot of those stories, I don't think you can discount them.
Right.
And
I don't either. I believe there's, you know, I'll say this to start with this. For most all underlying legend, a legend is something that's carried on off of something that starts off as basically true, usually. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's Wild Bill Cody. You know, clearly everything that Wild Bill Cody is, they wrote about him in all these different books, he didn't do all those things. But it was taken from a real character. You see where I'm getting at? And so,
he was born not too far from where I was born, and
really?
Right on the Mississippi River in Iowa.
Well,
and go visit his birthplace.
Well,
I can't remember the town, but I just know he's not born too far from where I was born.
Well,
I was
so
born
then,
in northeast Iowa.
Right. And that's awful pretty country up there. Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
You know. Anyway, going on with that. So, you know, these ancient evils, I mean, these things that are around, we just hear stories about. That's why we look in a good place for people to look about some of these things or some of the other books, like, that talk about the Watchers. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. In fact, interesting you should say that because Watchers is in this code.
Really? So let's go with this. So you put in Germany, and these are words that I'm trying to get the people to be able to envision. So you have I wish folks you'd go over and look. But anyway, so you have like a bunch of letters on a board. I'm trying to explain it to people that can't see. We have a bunch of letters on a board, and you type in or put in Germany, and these are the things that come up close around them, in other words, right?
Right. And as I said, I usually take two words and then build from, and if I get a touch on those two words, then I build. It's surprising how many times I put two words and I can't get a touch. And if I can't get a touch or a letter in common, I know I don't have anything. And that happens more than you might think. There's times when I'm just sure I've got something right, and
right.
I can't get a touch, and I spend half a day trying to get a touch, and I don't get one. And,
well, you know, from that, so what, you know, we say we're talking about Bible codes, but we still have not breached a thing. What is this? I mean, you know, is this a confirmation
basically
on history?
It's basically what one rabbi said, and he was actually they call him a sage. He said that the whole of history is written in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. The whole of history is encoded in the Torah. I think it's Rambam that said that.
I do know that statement. I know the statement. I'm not sure who said it, but that's a call. Yes, it said that.
And so when you realize it, and you think, that can't be possible, but then when you realize that you can literally have just in the first 10 verses of Genesis, you could have literally thousands of codes hidden in there. Different skips rates, different everything. You can have different letter combinations and different touches. You can literally find the entire Bible. Or you can find the entire history of the world, past, present, future. The biggest trouble is when I go looking for future stuff, I usually have to have a prophecy to work on, or I'm wasting my time. And
prophecy meaning something from the Tanakh, or something somebody's given.
Something, you know, where somebody thinks they've gotten something from the Lord. I remember years ago when I was first doing this, some guy put up this big old prophecy, and I ran it through the codes, and I totally struck out. I could not find anything anywhere. Guess what? The prophecy was false.
Right.
It didn't happen. So I suddenly realized, we got ourselves, why do you think Paul says that when somebody prophesies, another judges? How are we supposed to judge? You ever wondered that? Well, if you look back, Josephus said that there were guys that actually did these codes manually, and they could predict the future. And Josephus said they were never wrong. And they go back to the prophet Zechariah, who I honestly think was the first one who discovered this.
Well, and I think we have something that's a confirmation with that, because, you know, I did it at the first of the program. I said, the Father proclaimed the end from the beginning. And so if he did that, I know, you know, of course I'm Messianic, so of course I know the Torah, and, you know, I can find everything that I need to know about the time of the end. Really, in the Torah, without even going to the New Testament. Not that I don't love and use the New Testament, you know what I'm saying? But it's all there. But there's a lot of other details that aren't there. And so if he's proclaiming the end from the beginning, you know, to me it gives a lot of credence for this code, does it not?
Yes. And now, in fact, I found it very interesting that you quoted that scripture, because he does know the end from the beginning, and not only does he know it, he's told it to us. He's shown it to us. He gives us these things so that we can learn it too. And also, Amos, you know, that famous verse there, God will do nothing except he first tell us in prophecy.
Right, yeah, unless he tell his servants to prophets. And I've got a couple of guys that you know, I start to say, well, you know, there's about to be something happen, you know, according to news or whatever. They say, well, I don't think so, because I haven't heard a prophet say it yet. And I said, boy, you know, there is some extreme to that, but are they actually telling the truth when they say that?
Well, this is one of the things the codes can do, is I can check these guys, and I can see if they're on target. For example, I have one guy in there who I honestly think has prophetic gifts.
Okay.
He told me about this situation. It's called the Missiles of October. But you know what? For years, I couldn't find it. I couldn't make a connection. But you know what? In the 1990s, I never thought of Iran having missiles. In fact, if you would have suggested to me in 1996 that Iran had a missile, I would have told you you're crazy.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. It wasn't until about 10 years ago that we finally see Iran having missiles. And once I started seeing that, suddenly I ran that in there, and suddenly I got a code. And suddenly, yes, it's great. We're now seeing the potential that Iran could not only attack us with missiles, but they could do so from ships literally off the coast of the USA.
Yeah,
most people don't realize that a ship can hang 13 miles off the coast, and there isn't a thing we can do about it without creating or actually doing an act of war. And in fact, we have people on our coast to this day that do nothing but listen to radio signals from Russian trawlers and other foreign ships. They're just hanging there, supposedly fishing. Well, why are you fishing 13 miles off the coast of the USA?
They didn't tell you what they're fishing for. They're fishing for information, you know. They're not lying. They're fishers, just like Yeshua is a make people fishermen of men. They're fishermen of information, you know. You just got, and that's one thing with me, you know. I always look at what people say, because even in the biggest lie, there's usually some really startling truth if you just look deep into the lie and on what it's based on, you know.
Well, you take the old story from Russian Pravda years ago. They told about a race between an American car and a Russian car. Of course, the American car won, but the way Pravda wrote it out, that the Russian car finished second, and the American car finished next to last.
Yeah, Pravda. You gotta love Pravda. I that's one of my research places, you know. But let me say this. The left-wing media, you know, has a lot over Pravda. I mean, they're a Pravda of themselves, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. I've gotten so frustrated with how they're reporting. But, of course, when you understand CIA Operation Mockingbird, you know what game they're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know that all the people know what is Mockingbird for the people, if you can briefly tell them.
Okay, Operation Mockingbird was a CIA program developed under the auspices of a man by the name of Alan Dulles, who was a Satanist, just pure and simple. You go on the internet, you put Alan Dulles' name in with the word Satanist, and you'll get a couple thousand hits. You'll be spending the next 2 years looking through them all.
Right.
But that's a pretty good big waste of time. Well, one of the things he created was a program called Operation Mockingbird. And his goal was to control the media to the point that all they would say is what the CIA wanted them to say. And it's interesting. That's why we don't have any truth about the Kennedy assassination from the media. We don't have any truth about what really happened to Nixon in 73. We don't have any truth about what really happened in Iran in 1980. And it goes on and on down the list. We are getting nothing. What's really happened with 9/11? When I ran a code on Bible code on 9/11, I couldn't find Osama bin Laden anywhere. I thought, by sure, we've got this. We've got Osama. No, he didn't. He was happy it happened, But he had nothing to do with it. He was sick. He was dying. In fact, he'd be dead in another month. And I found a code on that. That they actually, between American and U.S. intelligence, or American and Israeli intelligence, they iced him. Because he was a wild card that they couldn't control.
Right.
So they hired a bunch of Qadiri, which are Indian assassins, because Qadiri's a long story, but to make it really short, they go around the world and they take all the unwanted children, take them back to where they live, and they turn them into assassins. And then after that, they get hired out to every place in the world because they have these children that are trained, they turn into adults, and they have them anywhere in the world. They can drop in people where they want to put them, and they can assassinate whoever you want assassinated. That's one of the reasons when I got, you know, a while back, I did a code and found out that, indeed, Hillary Rodham wanted Trump dead. And thankfully, I have a way of getting these codes to these people without them knowing where they got it.
Right.
Well, they'll know now, but it's way after the fact.
Right.
And what happens, they can get it to the right people, and about a week before the Reno thing, he upped his security. There was a big article about it, how he was improving his security and hiring more people, and they caught these people. But I honestly thought they were going to hire some of these Qadiri, but then I started to realize later on Hillary doesn't have the money for that.
Okay, listen, we're going to have to go to a break here. Actually, this is we're at the end of the program. Give your website real quick, and then we'll talk again an hour from now.
Okay, that sounds good. And my website again is BibleCodes.co, not com, co. And, you know,
okay. Brother, I've sent this out to prophecyhour.com, folks. If you can't find it, look at it over there. You can find the link on my website, and we'll be back with more Tom Mack in another hour. And this is really getting interesting. We're going to hear about the two witnesses when we come back. We'll talk again. Thanks for being on, brother. We'll be talking to you soon. Goodbye and shalom.
Okay.
Folks, yeah, that was Tom Mack. We'll be back with more Bible Codes. We're just starting to get into this. And so we will, if you have some questions that you want to know ahead of time, send them to me by email or call me and I'll ask him when we come back. Okay, but remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the word of the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and Radio. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless them and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.